Jessica Bennett had had enough insults and microaggressions from her male colleagues, so she and some of her female friends teamed up and formed a club, the Feminist Fight Club, to compare notes and figure out how to react to sexist acts. And Bennett's got a new book out with the same name, The Feminist Fight Club, which she says is a manual for surviving a sexist workplace. Jessica, do I have that right?
That is right. A battle manual.
A battle manual. Jessica's from, you were born and raised in Seattle.
I was.
Now in New York, you write for the New York Times.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about the Feminist Fight Club you started with your friends at work. Why'd you do that?
Yeah, so, you know, I was born and raised here, progressive parents, called themselves feminists, told I could accomplish whatever I set my mind to, and I did. And then I entered my first job at Newsweek magazine in New York, and I started running up against these barriers. I would pitch an idea and it would get rejected, but it would appear on the pages of the magazine under a male byline. I found out after a few years that a man, a friend of mine who was at the same level as me, was making about $10,000 more. And all of these things began to add up. So I started talking with female colleagues, with other friends in different industries, and we decided we wanted to form a club to talk about some of these issues.
A feminist fight. What is the first rule of Feminist Fight Club?
Well, so initially the rule of the Feminist Fight Club, this is where the title came from, was that we didn't talk about it outside the group. And that was very real at the time. There were women involved in the group who did feel like if it got out in their respective workplaces that they were in what was essentially a feminist consciousness raising group, they would be penalized. But here we are 10 years later, and now the rule, the first rule of the Feminist Fight Club, is you must talk about the Feminist Fight Club.
Mm. You talked about sexism. You helped each other come up with ideas. And how did your male coworkers react?
Well, it was interesting because I think that a lot of the male coworkers were very supportive and really believed in this stuff as well. You know, we're millennials, we're young, we believe in equality. Most of our male friends believe in equality too. And a lot of the sexism we were facing was not the overt kind of sexism of my mother's generation. You know, want ads were not segregated by gender. We were not told, like the women of Newsweek in a previous era were told, that they were not allowed to be writers. To the contrary, we were told we could accomplish everything. And the men wanted to support us. But I think that the thing with some of the sexism we face today is that it's subtle. It's unconscious. And women exhibit it and men exhibit it. And sometimes we don't even realize it.
What are you hoping to teach? What do you want women to do in the workplace? What's your advice?
So there's so much talk about gender issues now. You know, I've done some work with Sheryl Sandberg and Lean In, and I think that Lean In ushered this new age where we talk about a lot of the gender bias that exists. You know, clearly with the election, we're talking about this stuff. But so much of the research out there and so much of the conversation and the media focuses on the problems. And I know that for myself, starting out, I was a 20-something in a workplace. I knew that there were a lot of structural issues I wanted to fight for. Equal pay, paid maternity and paternity leave, all of these structural things. But, you know, I'm like 24 and kind of powerless. And like, what am I supposed to do in the moment when I'm getting interrupted every time I speak or having my ideas attributed to a male colleague? So what I would like to do in this book is provide very practical, in the moment tactics that women can employ to deal with some of the things that they face.
You used the word tactics. I think you said battle manual. Is the fight club war survival metaphor more helpful than hurtful?
I think so. I think a lot of what we talk about these days are sort of these soft ways of overcoming these issues. You know, we don't even talk about feminism. We talk about empowerment. And I want to be a little bit aggressive. I think we can be a little bit aggressive, and we need to. I also want to be humorous. I think that humor has a way of bringing people in to talk about complicated issues that they may not normally feel comfortable discussing. And so you'll notice the front cover of the book says this book is 21% more expensive for men.
Mm-hmm.
It's not really. That would be illegal. But it's calling attention to the wage gap. Women make 21% less on average. So I think that sometimes humor has a way of opening these issues up. And I think that, you know, fighting and battling and considering this a fight is not necessarily a bad thing.
So walk me through some of your survival battle manifesto lingo. We have manterrupter. What's a manterrupter?
Well, if anyone...
I mean, I think I know what it is, but go ahead.
If you watched the debate the other night...
Do you want me to just explain it?
Yeah, can you explain it to me?
Sorry. Manterrupter. Go on.
So Donald Trump is a manterrupter. In the debate that we all watched, he interrupted Hillary Clinton something like 51 times. She interrupted him once. Now, this is kind of a funny term to call this. Clearly not every man is an interrupter and not every interrupter is a man. But statistically, this is something that occurs more frequently for women. Women are twice as likely to be interrupted than men are. So there is real research backing to these things. Another term is the bro-propriator. This is the bro who appropriates your ideas. Now, I think many women would attest that this has happened to them at work, but there are also many times when ideas are just incorrectly attributed to men. They're not maliciously doing this, but what the research shows is that even in mixed gender settings, when there is a good idea, we, meaning women and men, will instinctively attribute that idea to a man, and they will get credit. You know, people as high up as the women of the White House are employing some of these tactics. There was an article recently in the Washington Post about how the women in Obama's White House use something called amplification, where they bring each other into their meetings, they reiterate what each other has stated, they call attention back to the person that the idea has come from, and they will interrupt on each other's behalf so that they can get their points out. And so my feeling is if the women in the most high office in the land, at least in our country, and the highest up women are having to employ some of these tactics, then the rest of us can use them too.
What about women who don't have upwardly mobile jobs? What's in your book and these tactics for them?
I think that all of this stuff applies across the board. You know, when you're whether you're in an hourly wage job or working in a restaurant, you're still likely being mansplained to or interrupted. You're likely going to have to negotiate at one point or another, you know, whether it's for more pay or for flexibility or for vacation time. All of these things occur truly across the board. And I think that some of the tactics that we can employ are really effective. You know, I think we also have to think about larger structural issues, pay equality, raising the minimum wage. But sometimes when you're in the moment and you can't get a word out, you just want something in your back pocket to employ.
You've gotten some flack for some of the words manterrupter and bropriator and himitator and menstruator. But I tell you, there's something about a flippant one-word label. When I heard mansplaining, that stuck with me, and I hear myself do it, and I try to stop myself. Right, so you're being, well, let you describe how you're being.
I'm being tongue-in-cheek, yeah. But I also think that there's a very important linguistic purpose for these words. You know, mansplaining is not a term I came up with. It evolved from the internet over the past few years. It's been hugely popularized, and now it is in the zeitgeist. It's part of the culture and the language. And, you know, one might argue that women have been mansplained to, that's a man explaining something in a pedantic or condescending way, since the dawn of time. But we never had a word to call it out. Suddenly, we have a word to describe it. Everyone knows what that word means. And you see people on cable news calling it out in the moment. You see women doing this in their workplaces. And it's a fun and effective way to actually call out the behavior and hopefully correct for it. And I see not just women calling it out, but men too.
Is fighting the patriarchy fun in your experience?
I think that a lot of these issues can be very depressing to talk about all the time. So what my fight club, the real life women of this group, always did was we tried to laugh. You know, a lot of them were comics. We laughed about it and we came up with ways that we could fight patriarchy that we thought were fun. And so I don't think this stuff has to be a burden. You know, we can galvanize, we can work together, and we can make this fun.
Jessica, you interned at KUOW,
I should
point
out,
right after college. Be honest, how sexist was it?
You know, I was mostly working in a restaurant and a bar and was
compared
there
to a bar
very late every night. I think that it was a welcome, refreshing alternative to working in a bar. I didn't find it to be sexist. Not that I noticed, but I don't know that I was so enlightened. You know, Isolde Raftery, your online editor, did an amazing piece earlier this year about lactation rooms. And I know that there was actually some movement made here at the station to create an actual room for breastfeeding,
mm-hmm.
for pumping.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think you guys on the scale of things are pretty good.
It so is, we can yeah. congratulate ourselves and go
to
sleep?
You know, let's not give a pat on the back. Your job is to employ these tools and try to make the larger workplace better.
And select our guests with care?
Exactly.
Well, we're glad you're with us, Jessica Bennett, a columnist for the New York Times, author of the new book Feminist Fight Club. And you are holding an event this evening that our online moderator, Isolde Raftery, is moderating the event.
Yes.
7 o'clock, Elliott Bay Book Company, Capitol Hill. And we're glad you joined us. Thanks.
Thanks so much for having me.
KUOW's The Record, back in a moment.